TPBeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Haller, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with his
man. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go no longer go, living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said come as you are, he love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart, and since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me, make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made. We shall certainly rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Giving honor to the Lord God, Jehovah, the Creator. Amen. And his blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost. And amen. My producer, Pastor O, Gerald Overall. Amen. And his lovely wife, Sheila, the saints and friends for Running for Christ Ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. And all the different church and saints, and even those that, amen, are just listening in. Some of you may be listening to this after the rapture. Amen. But praise the Lord anyhow. You know, it's a blessing to I was just thinking the privilege. You know, I'm going to have to find a way to lay that song into this video because, you know, it was a song. I know y'all that's watching the video ain't didn't hear it, but it's I believe, by Lecrae, and it's preaching real hard. You know, he was living wrong, but now he's living right. I can relate to all that. You know, and that's the blessedness of this life. You know, as people are confused, you know, I would often hear people talk about how church folk act. Look, church folk, I'm going to tell you about a Christian. A Christian is a person smart enough to know they can't pass God's judgment without a lawyer. And there ain't but one, and that's his name is Jesus. Everybody else, well, if you listen today, amen, we're dealing with the subject was still one of the aspects of spiritual warfare, something that obviously a lot of people are still oblivious about. And one specific area we're talking about has been for the last couple of weeks is pride, you know, and that the Bible has nothing good to say about pride. Matter of fact, it really exposes where your heart is in relation to God being, you know, people want Jesus to be Savior, but not Lord. And there's a distinct difference. Lord means he's telling you what to do, you doing what he say do, how he say do, when he say do, where he say do. And that covers a lot of territory. Amen. But let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious, heavenly, blessed Father, we do thank you that we even have the privilege to call you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for purchasing that opportunity for us with the suffering that you endured, amen, just to bring us into the kingdom. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for doing a marvelous job of keeping us on the path, strengthening us with might in our inner man. Father God, we're asking that you continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, blessing the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance that you have in the saints, the great and extremely exceeding power that you have made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you strengthen the bereaved. Amen. There's many challenges that people are yet facing. Amen. Some don't understand what is going on. Amen. And it's hallelujah, Lord, that you will bless them because you're the only one that can heal the brokenhearted. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work approved of you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the heart of your people that which you would have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, this subject, pride, is really a spiritual warfare. You know, it's part of how we're supposed to live. It's the development of the spiritual man. See, we as humans, Tim, if you look out through history, we focus on the what we can see in the mirror, the flesh. But God is focused on the person inside the flesh. For those that are new, the Bible describes in Ephesians that we are a spirit. We have a mind, will, and emotion. That's the soul or the soulless realm. And we live in this body. And I mean this body, this program, the reason I call it Training Day is because of that, spiritual warfare. We're to develop our spiritual man above all because that's the eternal part of us. Everybody that you see that have passed on, you notice they left the body. And now science has finally caught up to the reality that there are distinctly a person inside the body. It's an apparatus. And, you know, I was thinking earlier, you know, I'm going to get some documentation from some medical people to help clearly explain. Training Day is based on, found on two primary scriptures, Philippians 3:20, and it says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And then the other one is 1 John 3:2. It says, now we are the children of God, and what we will be like has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If you read that, amen, as a cliche, that's the result you will get. But you got to look at the whole picture. You got to look. You fit the entirety of the creation of man into that. That's talking about the final advanced level of mankind, specifically Christians. You know, I don't know what other religions teach. You know, I was getting ready to commit to read the whole Quran, and the Lord said, you ain't got time for that. You ain't got time for that. You know, I know some things about it, you know, but the fact of the matter is we serve a God, the only God that has laid us out a plan for the future and has been totally successful in carrying that plan out so far. You do not find documentation of other spiritual leaders where it was documented where they would be born, how they would be born, when they would be born, what their life would be like, when they would die and be resurrected. In the case of Jesus, all that came to pass. Is documented in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, chapter 9, throughout the Bible. And not only that, the nation of Israel, which cannot be eliminated. I don't care what people's opinion is on Israel, what the Bible said about Israel is going to be. That's God. You know, being chosen is not as important as the chooser, because all of Israel, there's the Israel and the Israel of God, which is the body of Christ, amen, that we have the authority pray in a level that no one else has. They have to have a God to answer prayer, and you don't hear other people talking about intercession. You don't hear them talking about royal priesthood, which is intercession. So bottom line is this. The magnitude of a human being, as we know it, being a spirit person, which is a spirit that was received from God, an intellectual capacity that allows you to operate this thing called a body. I mean, you got to think about it. You see it in a solid mass form, but under a microscope, it's non-millions of cells, and that probably bigger than that. 9 million is the zeros wrapped the earth 63 times. That's how big that number is. Ironically, I learned that from a group of atheists, some atheist scientists that wanted to put to rest the existence of God, and by the time the book was finished, 20 of them, it was 21 of them, 20 of them had gave their life to Christ because they discovered it's not possible for life to be an accident. But anyway, so what is the point? God has created a being that he expects to serve him and be under him throughout eternity, and he's going to expand his kingdom throughout the universe. Right at this moment, science will even tell you that the universe is growing at 186,000 miles per second. As far as they try to reach out and see, it continues to go. And the only reason God doesn't do anything for nothing. So the reason he's doing that, because he is going to expand his kingdom. He promised a man named Abraham he told him to look up at the stars. He told Jacob to look up at the stars, and that's the size of your family. And stars are innumerable. Okay. So now, we, on the other hand, have been selected, amen, to serve God. In the same manner that Jesus, in the mindset, particularly the mindset that Jesus had, in the book of Philippians, he said, let this mind, meaning you have to participate. It ain't going to jump on you. God is not going to make you do it. You are going to have to involve yourself into it. You're going to have to decide. Let this mind, what mind? The mind that operates in love, agape love specifically, as God desires. And you spend your life learning to comply with that. You know, that matter of fact, because I got new people, and I just met some people, God bless them. You know, I want you to understand what the Bible is talking about. I'm going to read, let's try 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We want to read, this is God's definition of love, okay? Now, this is talking about agape love. Now, this is the English version. It's just, and then our NIV, International Version. Amen. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Love is patient. I don't want to go back and read. You got to go back and read from verse 1, really, okay? But this here breaks it down, and it said love is patient. Now, listen at this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now, in the King James, it says love is long-suffering. And I think that says a little bit more than it's more descriptive of what you're supposed to be in patience. That means there's some pressure against you psychologically, okay? You know, I'm an advocate that you do not have to live in a violent situation. You see, there used to be only men, but I found out, I did 31 years in law enforcement, I found out there's some physically abusive women out there. It's just incredible. But love is so you don't have to live in that. That God does not require you to live right in that. Now, you don't have to run out and get a divorce, but you don't have to live in the midst of that trauma. All right? Love is patient. And I want to say, anytime you go reunite with somebody and they say they didn't got saved, they didn't got delivered, the best evidence is their prayer life. If they can't pray, they ain't connecting with God. They might have gotten religion. But there's a distinction between a person that has a prayer life is protective of that prayer life. And they will obey God because they've developed a sensitivity to God. And if they have a sensitivity to God, they'll have a sensitivity toward you. They love God, they'll love you. In Matthew 22:37-39, we might get on that later. Okay, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. And that's what we're talking about, pride. See, love does the opposite of what pride does. It does not boast. It is not proud. So this is characteristic of God versus Satan. We talked about, let me pull my notes up, because this is, pride is says exaggerating, disposed to exaggerate one's own worth, importance, by an overbearing manner, okay? An offensive attitude of superiority, proceeding or characterized by arrogance or arrogant reply, you know, having excessive pride in oneself and contempt for others. The key is just you can't live the life that Christ wants you to live if you don't read his word. It's not just, he wasn't just a good person. Man, it disturbs me when I hear that, but I know that at that point I have to pray for that person because they don't have a revelation. You will not have, they don't have a revelation of God. I've been told about cutting my thoughts off, but I'm trying. Pray for me. Anyway, you will not have a person that walks in love, lives in love, that spend time with God daily operating in pride. It just don't happen. Because one thing about being with God every day, he'll correct you. He won't bite his tongue. Now, he'll be nice about it at first. If you drag your feet, then he get a little more encouraging, so to speak. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's strong. That's strong. Because you're going to find in this life, when that comes, when them challenges come, you ain't going to always, you regroup. When you do, when you miss it, listen, people won't admit they missed it. I saw a person in an interview that could not acknowledge that they missed it. And I don't think I've ever seen that before. And I was surprised, because everybody at every level in my lifetime have always acknowledged that they miss it. I mean, you know, I only know two people. I'm not going to even mention them. But the Pope, he said he don't miss it. He said that's their office. That's their office. They claim they don't miss it. That's how you get to be Pope, because you have to be like Jesus. Jesus don't miss. Jesus is the only person I know that never missed it any way, form, fashion, at any time. He always got it right. But he was a different person, okay? He was God manifest in the flesh. He had the spirit in the fullness. He had faith without measure. But that ain't the case with us. See, and we're learning. He's the ship captain. We're learning the ship. It's challenging. So you can't say or even attempt to say that you got this right. And see, and that's the thing about pride. People don't want, you got the first thing, you can't become the people. See, this is what I started out talking about, because I hear this with people. They be talking about Christians need to live this and that. Listen, you don't know who they are. You don't know their life. People don't know your life. They don't know where you come from. They don't know your mental capacity. They don't know. It's a lot of things you don't know. They don't know the stressors. And if you're a Christian, this is very important, because we are in judgment now. We are in judgment now. And missing it now could harm you, if not cause you to lose your life. And I can't, that could be detrimental. Because dying now, you need to know where you're going. There's one body of Christ. If the person say they believe in Jesus Christ, I don't care what you know about their denomination, their doctrine, or what they see. You have no right to criticize them. That's been banned, okay? That's been banned, because if you criticize one, you're criticizing Jesus himself, and that won't flow good for you. There's no option. You don't see, that's the key about this life. You learn to master your emotions in that aspect, because you have to be consistently conscious that you are the servant of the Most High God. That's the thing about this life. This is what God is. He is not going to turn unlimited power over to a person that he can't trust. And this is what you're in this life. You're learning that aspect of life. You're learning that. And you're going to be and the challenges grow. They don't get easier. God, you ain't going to get first grade challenges right now. You ain't going to get first grade challenges and you've been a Christian for 20 years. You're going to get 20-year challenges. And if you just whine and moan and do all that, you're just going to pile them up. You're going to pile them up. Step up to the plate. All right. See, so the love we just read about, you got to read this and think about it, because what you will notice here, one, it does not say that they owe you anything. We're going to give you anything. Why? Because God is love. People use that as a phrase. God is love. God is love. That's a fact. What does that mean? That means that when you receive Christ, you receive God, you got all the love you're going to ever get. Your job is to give it. When people get married, the expectation from God's point of view is that two people will give each other the love he gave them to give, not get. Give. You get it. And in exchange, the hope is that you will each mutually give each other love. But now what are we giving? You got four different types of love. Now, naturally, we know about the Eros type of love, the flesh to flesh. I love you. We know that part. But it's the other part, when she don't get the pancakes right, when he don't bring the right stuff home from the store. When he get laid off from his job, where's the love then? You know, I had to commend my wife back years ago. You know, the economy like it is now, I was out of a job. You know, they threw us out in the street. We didn't get no 100 weeks of unemployment. It was get the hustle on. And we had to live in a little two-room apartment, and she treated me like I was the king of E-course. I'll never forget that. I mean, she was so kind, so sweet to me. Every opportunity she got, that's encouraging. Ladies, remember that. That's encouraging to men. So I had to go out and hustle. But that's your energy to hustle. See, that's what love is, an energy force that'll drive you. Love is an energy force. It is the power of God. You learn to use that to drive you. That's what make a person pray. When I pray, when we get up and pray every day for other people, love is the driving force. Yeah, you ain't impressed. And a person trying to impress God won't do it every day. You know, because there are days you're going to feel like it, you know. But see, I'm trying to get you to understand, because right now you're going to need a boost, as they give it with this shot. You need a boost for your faith. That's what it is. That's what love is about. So now what we're talking about, I call this pride the faith killer. It kills your faith. Faith works by love. That's in Galatians 5, verse 6, the B portion, faith which works by love. Why? What is love? It's God is love. Faith which works by love. God is love. You getting that? Okay, your faith will work because God is love. If that's the generating force. Now, pride is a corruption, and that's the purpose of it, and it's promoted by Satan. You got to go back and review the other videos. We talked about Satan, how his mindset worked in Isaiah chapter 4, and you hear it clearly. I will be like the Most High. That's his M.O. So when you see that characterization in your behavior, and you know who you're leaning to, you don't have a neutral zone. You don't have your own mind. Your own mind will do one of two things: choose to follow God, choose to follow the devil. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you think you're not a bad person, you think you're a good person, listen, let me help you. You were born in sin. You're a victim of circumstances. You're here, okay? You can be a good person. Most people are good, okay? But good won't get you to heaven. Good won't get you eternal life. You have to be born again. And the one thing that stops people from getting born again is pride. Pride. You know, they don't want to go forth in there. You have to acknowledge that you're human. Guess what? Why is that so? You know, I can remember the only reason that made me drag my feet about committing to Christ was I wasn't ready to act right. You know, I mean, I didn't have no problem admitting. Now, I knew I wasn't going to act right, so I didn't have no problem admitting that I don't act right, you know, but you don't understand what it is like to be encompassed and indwelt by the love of God. You have to understand the process. So, now, okay, we're talking about love. All right. Love. Now, pride. Pride will stop you from being open to the supernatural revelation of the word. One, you got to read it. You do have to read it. Now, this God is, anybody tell you this, when you read the word, that which you God wants you to know, you're going to know it. And you're going to read it. You know, I mean, some of the most blessed men of God I know right now, you'll read the Bible, and what it is the more times you read it, you got to see it as like this 1,000-piece puzzle. I know y'all generation haven't dealt with puzzles, but that's what we did the past time. The more you spend time at it, the more pieces of the puzzle, the better the picture is. You know, like right now, the thing that I'm teaching, I just got a little piece of the puzzle. Somebody else been, see all the, I'm teaching the shallow stuff. Now, if you knew. This seems deep, but it ain't. It's the shallow stuff, because I tell you, when I sit down and I listen to man of God and I listen to my pastor, I'm like, man, okay, I'm not disturbed by that. You know, I do what I do. But this is, the point here is, this the other aspect. You want to be able to effectively access the power of God. That's critical. You want to be able to access the premises of God. And the pride will interrupt that. See, that's what Satan is part of he's a development tool. It's like if you play a sport, football teams, if you ever get a chance to go watch some football teams, you'll see, you know, they'll wear different colored jerseys. And in most cases, they'll have red and white and the opposite. And the one team, one side challenges the other. If you're going to watch the sport, that's what it is. Satan is the challenger. You know, that's what he is. His name means adversary. In order for you to know what pride is, God can't act pride. He can't act proud. Anything he say about himself is right. He is the Most High God. You know, there is none above him. And yet, he wants a relationship. Believe me, God has, he can get, you can get in a relationship with God. You know, you will begin to see, I used to wonder about people that they were just like so caught up in God, they didn't care about nothing. They had two suits of clothes, they drove a car that wasn't all that, and they hated church not being open, you know, and I didn't understand that. But now I understand that. God is a realm. He's a realm. He's a person. And the one thing that will keep you out of that realm is pride, because he ain't here. He ain't having it. But because why? Everything else about your life is temporary. Your relationship with God is the only permanent. And again, he's talking about taking us to a level that's beyond our imagination. You got to go back and read everything that Jesus did. You know, I just learned something I've asked about some time ago. I'm looking for God to be able to expose it. He's going to expose himself more. Now, what God does, he does, amen, and we're talking about him giving more of his love. See, but it took some, that's tremendous power. So we're looking at that. I'm expecting to be in Kroger and being able to know when God want to heal somebody. That's what I'm talking about right there. We're in the last days, and I expect him to do more than what's been done. And so in the process, I've been asking God, how will I know? You know, because I wanted to know, and Sunday he did something that I know somebody else related to, and I didn't, at first, I'm like, wow. So I had to go look for somebody to lay hands on, because I want to see how this stuff works. Because what are you doing when somebody get healed? We think of it as something like magical. But in reality, what it is a total alteration of the molecular structure. See, I guess because I think in those terms, I see that, and yet I'm at a minor level. Imagine, I know I was just with a doctor, and they see things from a whole different perspective, but yet they don't see the aspect that I'm trying to convey here. You have a tremendous amount of power. I was thinking about earlier, you know, I watched T.D. Jakes and how he sweat. It isn't just the light. Do you know how much energy is generated just to be able to talk, particularly for me to talk for this whole 55 minutes or however, takes a lot of energy. I actually have to go and take a break after this is over. You know, I used to see pastors maybe sweating and, but you know, it takes a lot of energy. Why? Because your spirit generates a lot of energy. You generate enough energy to set off a nuclear bomb. Scientists are learning more about the human than we've ever had. We have technology now that shows us. And God is looking for us to master love, because love is the opposite of pride. All right. Let's look at this. Okay, because, you know, I saw a particular situation lately being with these particular politicians, it shouldn't even matter. You should be able to pray for anyone in need according to the will and the word of God. And that's always. It is his word. He said that's what he commanded us to pray for all men. Matter of fact, I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. Because he gave us power. Everybody can't do it. Only the body of Christ. And if we don't pray, God can't answer. So I can't, like I say, pride is where you get what we call self-righteousness. You know, I don't get to decide what they need. A matter of fact, when a person is out of the will of God, it's because they don't know him. They don't know him. They may think they do, but they don't know him. Okay, so what did he say in Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2? He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what? I'm going to throw this in there. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay, see, you got to get with the revelation of what this is about. You want love to rule your life. Love. And see, and the sad part is, there's a lot of us, this wasn't either, I'm going to say I missed too much Sunday school, I missed too much Bible class, otherwise I probably would have got this a lot earlier in life. I like to believe that. Okay, and I'm gonna put it on me. I'm not gonna put it on pastors, because the Bible, because one time I was talking some stuff and God said, you know, the book was open and I am here, and that ended that. That was a one time thing. So I don't say who could have, should have, would have, because the book was open and he is here. Because from day one, once he gave me that revelation that he is on November 16, 1976, that was it. I opened up the book. I wanted his opinion on every issue. And I figured, I read the book, and what's in there, that's what it is. And that's what it was. And that's why I see this. I mean, this is how, you know, in 41 years of marriage, you can see how that fit within marriage. That fits within every relationship. You know, and love will make you get control of your spirit. See, pride will make you go out. Right now, our economy is about to blow up, okay? So you need to be getting prepared for it. Why? Because of pride. What people don't talk about, if you don't watch the Financial News Network, you don't hear things on the general news about the debt level of the average individual. I'd be surprised when I hear that 10 people got like 10 and 20 credit cards. No. Okay, why? You got to get a second job if you ain't got enough money, because if you're just getting in debt more and more of it, you're still going to need money to pay that off. So you're really going to have to make some amends, because the fact that you went to college and your job, your boss don't pay you enough to pay your bills. Some cases it was unavoidable. You got medical bills you wasn't expecting. Things happened to your car you wasn't expecting. But now pride will stop a person from going to God. And he's saying on Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. I wasn't going to give you the verses because I think you should just read it and study it. But anyway, he's saying all your ways acknowledge him. And that's challenging, because God ain't going to go as fast as we want to go. He's going to make us slow down and wait. Okay? Either way it go, you're going to wait. The difference is whether or not you're under pressure. And you can get around that. But like I say, God expects us to learn. Why? Because everything about our lives comes back to being submissive to him, doing what he say, how he say, when he say. It saves you a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache. Like particularly pride. Why do people argue? Pride, especially in a marriage, pride. One person, all it takes is one person to shut up. You know, even when I was back in the way back 40 years ago, when I tried to argue, my wife wouldn't argue. She would not. So I'm like, okay, we ain't going to argue. And then we'll wait, we'll talk. See, I know. She'll say, I need to talk to you. We'll talk. And that's all it should be. Because what? People be arguing. Pride drives that. Even when you win, you lose. You know, what did you win? All right. And ain't that what it says about love? Let's go back to that. See, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, you know? And it's something. Why? Because God, again, you got to keep in your mindset. If you could experience, think about this. Jesus, when he appeared, I believe, I want this perfect. I believe it's John 20:26. See, we see this stuff, and I didn't think about this until I saw it. In John 20:26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. You know, that you got to picture that time. Now, mind you, they ain't got no transporter beam. It's amazing. They talk about that on the History Channel. People didn't even like the fact that Philip was transported by the Holy Ghost. Just, they make all kind of excuses for that. We're dealing with a God that has no birthday. You know what I said last week, because I said what I heard. Now, I don't, you know, if you don't agree, that Adam, now Adam, when I said Adam made himself, I did not mean that Adam by himself made himself. God gave Adam to the authority, the power to finish the process. I guess I should make that plain. When he breathed into that dirt, look at that. If you see in a video, look in the mirror. Yeah, what you see in the mirror came from dirt. Your spirit runs that entire apparatus. When you eat food, there's not something magical going on with your flesh. I have been to morgues. I've been to the county morgue. You can't put a sandwich under the nose of a dead body and it will not eat it. It will not break it down. All that ceases when the intellectual capability of that body has gone, a.k.a. the spirit, you. Now, where you go, it's up to you. Ain't but two places, heaven and hell. People can debate that all they want. One thing about it, they say, ain't no idiots in heaven, ain't no atheists in hell. Okay? So, and that's tremendous power. Look at what Jesus, that was complete command. Of the entire molecular aspect, okay? So the whole point of this is Satan wants you to misuse this power. The more you submit to God, the more you show yourself, what's the word I'm looking for? Show yourself mature. God will reveal more. He'll reveal more. He'll show you more. You'll be able to do things. I went to the day I went to the doctor. They did a complete, a few weeks ago, they did a complete scan of my body. You know, they didn't find the cancer. I knew it wasn't there. Cancer's a person, okay? When you learn to speak, I'm going to tell you, pray and ask God of the mystery of the madman of Gadaran. He was filled with 5,000 demons. Ask God about that. I try to explain it to people, but they don't get it. We are here to access power. Now, the key to being able to access this power is you have to be in the will of God. Now, that's covering a lot of territory. This is what it's talking about. Pride will be opposite of the will of God. But people don't like, you know, I have a position at church. You know, I was called into the ministry a long time ago, and I know I was called because I tried to dodge it. And yet I have another position that you know, was different than what I had before. I argue with God about going to that church where I'm at now. I actually argue with the Lord God, creator of heaven, like I know anything. You know, I'm like, read Job 38:2, you who have no knowledge. That's what I was, an idiot. But it doesn't matter, because I've committed to serving God in that aspect. To be able to do this, to be able to sit here, to have this information, this revelation, this opportunity, to talk to people that say, man, that was deep, deep. I'm like, okay. But you know what? This is a blessing of the Lord. It's a, you know what I mean? Even a blessing. It is something to be able to share this, to be even to have this revelation. I mean, it's deeper than this. We are in the end of days. This clock, we about to clock out of here. We about to get up out of here. And right now, see, what Satan is going to come up with ain't going to be what people think. See, high times really make people pray. It's good times where he get people. You go back and you study the children of Israel. He didn't get them with hard times. Hard times they had to get before God because they knew they needed God. But you give people money and opportunity, they'll seem like it's going out of style. I'm telling you, it's coming. You know, I will hear a lot about the great wealth transfer. And what will make, you read in Isaiah chapter 1. Matter of fact, let's read this. I want to show you. This is another aspect of what pride does. And what it says in pride, it said pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, it happens every time. And who promotes that? I will be like the Most High. You know what? I don't really want to read all this. Go back and you read. okay. Well, I'm going to read this. Verse 10. And first, I'm going to read a few verses, 10 through 15. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, criticizing them, believe me. Hear the words of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. You got to know what Sodom and Gomorrah was like. Dr. J. Vernon McGee was one of my earlier teachers, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And if y'all want to know the term, this is my definition of late. Late mean they ain't showing up for dinner till Christ comes. But anyway, he said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings and rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs and of goats, he goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my course? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath and calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings, your new moons and appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Okay? Now, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. All right. Now, you got to get the picture here. But at this point in time, Israel has gotten, they didn't got settled. They left Egypt with a lot of gold. You know, they live in Lahaw and Nahaw. Now, see, all of these, you have to understand the law. Go back and read the law in the book of Exodus, and Exodus 28, and begin in Deuteronomy. They had to bring, bottom line is, they were coming, let me put it in modern vernacular. They were coming to church, looking good, bringing big offerings, many offerings, tough, top shelf offerings, presenting it to God. But when they left church, you couldn't tell they believed in God at all. That's why he taught their life. See, God, remember, God is omnipresent. Okay? Now, with the exception of your private bedroom for married couples, that's about the only place God don't spend all day in. He will not violate. God is not watching you and your wife have sex. He ain't like that. He ain't no boy. It ain't because he God and he understand. He just ain't like that. Okay? I was told that when I asked God, how come he couldn't find Adam? Adam's personal residence was private for him and Eve. Okay? It was private. He didn't invade privacy, so he ain't peeping in your bedroom. But anyway, you know, that don't mean y'all can do stuff. So what y'all do, that's on y'all. He can tell by your spirit whether or not you. Anyway, bottom line is this. What will make people act crazy with money? Pride. Why? They want the praise of men. And look at how society is structured. We give people of low significance high levels of income. Athletes. I ain't got nothing against athletes. Yeah, they work hard to be an athlete. I ain't got nothing against that. But what does it produce for society as a whole, as compared to a teacher who produces for society? Now, if I saw a teacher and they had a salary and they was making $1 million a year, look at what they're producing. They're producing all that you look about that you enjoy today, all the technology you enjoy today, the car you drive in, the food you eat. Teachers had to prepare people for that. And that's what the word was supposed to do. I know they talk about, they think they separate church from God, but they can't. Because that's what the word did. That's what they did. The Bible used to be the foundation. All your business practices, all your accurate business, all your acceptable business practices are in the Bible. It's common. Okay. So the point of the matter is, you want to get a grip on this because you don't want, listen, I'm telling you, prosperity is coming. I even know where it's coming from. It's going to be a wealth exchange. That's one of Satan's primary tools. He's been very successful with that. Every king, you go back and you read in the book of Kings and what corrupts a king. You ain't ever seen a broke king corrupt. That don't happen that way. See, and right now it's coming. And what will make you, what separates you from God? Pride. Pride. This is what, look what this did for them. The children of Israel. All that don't impress God if your heart ain't in it for him. People talking about, they don't keep the Sabbath day. You know what? That I know when I hear a person talking about that, they ain't spending time with God. I don't care if you don't keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, listen, I learned 35 years ago how they came up with Sunday. They didn't change nothing. They changed how they address the issue. It doesn't matter. If God was upset with it, believe me, it'd be stopped. And it doesn't matter because one thing about it, when you're out of order with God, you can't get nothing done. If you're out of order with God, and that's, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Right now you need to fine-tune. See, you don't want pride. You don't want arrogance. You don't want your mindset. You want to stop and say, God, am I doing the right thing? Am I seeing the right thing? Am I going the right thing? One of the things that, the seven things that causes prayer failure. If you start listening to your pastor's messages, you will hear different excerpts of how to accomplish the will of God. That's what it's about. Because if you're not, and on a personal level, including simple things like, shut up, your wife is talking. Even though you might not even want to hear what she got to say, that's God's daughter. I don't care if she's saved. She may not even be saved. That's God's daughter. Did she lead this planet? And he's expecting your love to win her over. And if nothing else, if you just spend your life just giving them love, you've done your part because God will bless you. God will bless you. I'm telling you, it's critical now. It's very critical, very critical. You want to be able to operate. You do not want to operate because that is Satan's primary strategy, is to promote pride. And like I said, if you see a saint, and this is for the saints already, pray for them. That's what we've been given authority. Treat it as though if they was in a fight in the street and they was outnumbered, would you jump in the fight and help them win? Or at least help them escape? Or would you just stand there and watch them get beat down? I don't know the way people are acting these days. And this is the other thing. See, you want to be able to be able, like I said, you want to be able to access the power of God. You want to be able to access the power of God. Now, ask God about commanding angels. Get it from him. Because you really want to be able to understand that. Some things, look at how crazy the world is. I almost hate to turn on the news. And pride will block you from being submissive to God. That's the thing. The main, if you don't get nothing out of this, you're going to, right now, you want more than anything. You want to be submissive to God. You want to do what he say do, as he say do it. Okay? So, and remember, it's the opposite of pride is love. Opposite of pride is love. You know how it's challenging. But it's designed that way because we have to show how I act now, how I address issues now, how I pray for people now is telling God how I would act with full power. And go back, and when you read through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus responded to people that got on his last nerve. Now, there was one incident in which he went in the temple and was temple over. They call that righteous indignation, but he was right to do it at that time. Like I say, Jesus never missed it. If Jesus had missed it in any way, form, or fashion, we wouldn't be having this conversation because I wouldn't have been baptized by him. In case you didn't read it in the Bible, said John said that he shall baptize, guess what, with fire and the Holy Ghost. That wouldn't have happened. That's another whole level. See, the more, again, the less of you, the more of God. The less of you, the more of God. And you want the power flow to go. See, God is looking for people that he can demonstrate, show himself mighty through. He's going to. He's going to be doing it. He is doing it already. He's already doing things. You want to be, like I said, you want to be sensitive to that aspect of God. And I just, you know, I just hope I, hope. I didn't even get near where I wanted to go. But like I said, don't, this is another thing. Don't grade your life by where you are as to how important you are to God. Because one thing about this life is that a lot of the, see, that's the other thing. A lot of, quote, important people, they can't come to Jesus. Because they think that that little money and that little recognition by mankind has made them all that, you know. Now, let me say this. Right now, I had tremendous respect for Colonel General Colin Powell. From what I knew, what I heard, he had already gave his life to Christ many years ago, okay? So he had that much sense. That's how he got doors open, okay? Now, I'm just going by what people tell me. But you see, he's gone. You know, my response was, I expect to see you in part two. But you see, the only way to get there, like I say, you gotta. I really admire men of high stature that acknowledge God. That to me is a successful person, because if you don't make it to heaven, you're not a success. You're the epitome of failure, because it don't get no worse than that. Burning in hell forever, that ain't no success. Look at that man. It's an actual event in Luke chapter 16, two rich men, one succeeded, the other failed. You got to read that, verses 19 through 32. And what made that man fall? Pride. Pride goes before your destruction. You don't want that to rule your life. Amen. Now, so we've come to that place where you have to put pride aside and decide that God is above all and that Jesus is Lord. And if you agree with this right now, even if it's after the rapture, because if you got left behind, pride was the cause. Okay? So say this prayer with me. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he died for me on Calvary's tree, bearing my sins for me. And I believe that he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And dear Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am right now born again. And you know, I heard a man of God say that if you don't believe in the rapture, God is going to honor your faith and you will get left behind. So you might want to take that. I take issues before God. I'm notorious for taking issues before God, because at the end of the day, He's the only one sitting in judgment, and I'm here to please him, okay? And remember this: prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling all my friends asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my. I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my. I got the joy down in my heart.